Hey everyone, and welcome back to another edition of Scouting the League with Neil Stratton. Of course, I'm Roderick David. Hope everybody had a Merry Christmas. I know my wife and kids like to take the holiday all the way through the new year. We've still got the Mariah Carey Christmas album going strong. I'm ready to move on, though. I'm ready for 2024, mostly because that means these New Year Day Bowls are going to finally happen, get some championship football. Been some really good matchups so far, some really fun games. Just a few more days until those big games get here. Neil, how about you? Did you have a good Christmas?
No complaints, man. Busy times, fun times, but this is a work week for people in the industry. It's such an important time when agents are signing and all-star invitations are going out. It's pretty wild and woolly. So yeah, time, a little bit of time for rest, but lots of time to work as well.
Yeah, certainly. It's always one of those times for scouts. They can, you know, continue their deep breath. Again, reports are done. December meetings that we talked about last week are done. Again, keeping an eye on some of these bowl games, junior declarations. But from Christmas to New Year's is typically a nice, quiet time for scouts. So hopefully they're out there relaxing, enjoying time with their family. Hey, maybe catching up on a podcast or two that they can listen to and hopefully enjoy. Again, our next topic, all-star games, we're going to hit on those. Again, as you're paying attention to all-star stuff, always check credentials of those you're listening to. You can find out what they've done, where they've been. You can check out Neil on Twitter at Inside the League. I'm on Twitter at Right Step ADV. My website's rsafootball.com, insidetheleague.com for Neil. Again, check out credentials. Again, I've been going back and forth with a few people on Twitter who I don't think have much of an idea what actually goes on. I'm putting out, you know, stuff that I've been in six drafts, been in the draft room for meetings. Again, they can be valuable. All-star games, championship games, bowl games, all valuable for different reasons. So we're going to hit on some of that stuff today. So All-Star game season is nearly upon us. Rosters are getting set. Again, we've got the introduction of juniors to and underclassmen to some of these games, which is going to change the landscape a little bit. But some of the big reasons these All-Star games are going to be valuable: on-field matchups, again, one-on-ones, see those happen, see players in person, interviews. That is always a big, big thing that, you know, is going to happen at these is interviews, get these guys in person, sit down, talk to them. Some of the coaching staff interaction that happens, obviously, you got staffs on each side of the ball. We'll talk about relationships with those. Those are just a few of the things that we're going to hit on today. Of course, with the NFLPA game dissolving, the NFLPA continues to get more involved with the East-West Shrine game. We're down to what most scouts, most people will consider two big games, three secondary games, and then you throw the HBCU Legacy Bowl in there. So going through the schedule, kicking off, it's going to be the CGS, College Gridiron Showcase. That's going to be January 7th down in Fort Worth. That's going to be a couple-day event. I know Jose and that whole group made sure that scouts could fully be in compliance to be down there. That is huge for them. It's a game I've been to a couple different times. Really fantastic. Neil will be able to talk about that one. From the CGS, you head to the Hula Bowl. That's January 13th in Orlando. Of course, Hula tradition going back all the way to 1946 in Hawaii. But again, that whole group has, you know, really revamped that one since it has come back. Tropical Bowl, also in Orlando. That's January 20th. Then you get on to the two big ones, East-West Shrine Game, February 1st, now at the Star in Frisco. That one has bounced out around a little bit, and Mr. Galco and group continues to do a great job with that. And then you get to the one most people think of, Senior Bowl. That is February 3rd in Mobile. Used to be there at Ladd Peebles. Now it's Hancock Whitney over in at South Alabama. Again, your two big All-Star games. Certainly competing to be the game is in terms of all-star games. We'll probably get into a little bit of that. And then all the way back to February 24th, you're going to get the HBCU Legacy Bowl in New Orleans. Again, for those schools that are going to fall into that category, great opportunity for all of those. Of course, most football fans will have heard of the East, West, and the Senior. Our diehard football fans, our scouts, our people in the industry will know of the rest of them. Again, I've personally been at least once to every one of these games except the Hula and the HBCU game. I've attended the NFLPA game before it was dissolved, so I'd say I'm well versed in all of them. Neil, you've got some close ties to the CGS game, the College Gridiron Showcase. Talk about that for us.
Well, it's entering its 10th year, and it's pretty exciting to have made it 10 years. I know when we about 7 or 8 years ago, there was a kind of a cascade of all-star games, maybe about a decade ago, and you'd see them come up 1 year, take a look at the economics of things, and then dissolve and go. We're in a kind of a golden era of all-star games in that you're seeing a lot more longevity from a lot of these games, and the CGS is one of those. They've shortened the length. It used to be a 5-day game with a number of different events kind of as subsets of it. Now it's shortened to a 1 weekend without all the kind of the different rosters and different workouts and different things that used to be kind of hallmarks of it. But we have brought back the workouts obviously are important and critical. We have satisfied what the NFL wants from All-Star games as stated by the rules they kind of put out this spring. But the central, I think, the thing that really comes that scouts come away from our game that they really like is our all-star, I'm sorry, is our interview process. That remains more or less unchanged, and that'll take up a good bit of Saturday. We have runners that go out and go out and get the players for the scouts. The scouts have to sit in the room and wait for us to bring the guys to them. They tell us who they want. They can get through and interview as many as they want to. And that's something, we've always seen scouts kind of as our customers. And the feedback we always got was, hey, it's a lot harder to interview people because we can't find these guys and we bring in 250 to 300 players. So we take care of that for them. And I think a lot of the other games have kind of copied our format, not trying to brag, but it's something that is important to us. And I think it's become more important to the other All-Star games as well. And also I'll say, Jose and Craig were really the innovators in sharing costs on All-Star games, and that's one reason that the game has had its longevity. You know, we charge a fee and we expect the players to come down, make their own way down, and what have you. In the old days, you either took and covered all the expenses, or you didn't have an All-Star game, and it was basically a proposition in losing about 500 grand. And that's just not feasible. To Craig and Jose's credit, they have taken some risks and asked people to help out with that. And that's why they've been able to stick around. So hats off to them. I admire them both. And this will be year 10 for us. I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, no, like you said, the interview portion, again, was as fantastic as there is at any All-Star game. Again, you want to say untimed or loosely timed, again, sitting down with players. It's always one of the funny things for scouts is we've been sitting there for 4 months minimum, sometimes multiple years on guys, and we see a jersey and we see a helmet, and you get these guys without it on and you have no idea what they look like. And, all the runners that the CGS brings, aspiring scouts, aspiring coaches, people that want to work hard, make a good impression, do a fantastic job. It was as good of interview experience as I had was when I was a scout. You got to really know players. Again, I know there were multiple UDFAs that because of that time that I had with them at the CGS over a couple of years, were guys that it was like easy to make a phone call for. We'll get more into the interviews. With the changing landscape, I know the CGS has really worked to partner in different ways with the USFL, with the XFL, with spring leagues. Is that still in place? Is that still something that is a part of that experience?
It is, and especially because, Jose has had a role with the XFL. I don't know exactly how that's going to manifest this year. I know that there's a lot of flurry on Twitter right now, a lot of agents that are unhappy about the dispersal draft that was supposed to take place that apparently has not taken place. I don't know if we'll play any kind of role in that or if there'll be, any more information presented there. I'm hopeful that there will be. It's the spring leagues, obviously, this is kind of dragging on with regards to the merger and what have you. And we still don't really know exactly what shape that's going to be. But hopefully we will know more of that in Fort Worth here in a couple weekends. I can't speak to it directly, but my hope is that there will be something that'll take place there.
Yeah, certainly. Again, any exposure a lot of these guys have at these All-Star games is going to be good for them, for a lot of the players. Again, taking a step back from a scouting standpoint, for the big two, again, when you're just talking about the players there, if you're a player going to the East-West Shrine Game or the Senior Bowl, you will have a report on you from all 32 teams. I think that's pretty standard. Anybody that happened to pop up, fall through the cracks, maybe they were a surprise entry, anything like that, scouts are going to be required to have a report on them prior to getting to the All-Star game. I think about even going back to time in pro and college at those big games, there was always maybe one or two players, again, maybe a specialist, maybe a small school guy that somebody had to throw a report on. When you get to these other three, again, the CGS, the Hula, the Tropical, in a given year, maybe you've got 30% of the guys graded that are down at the All-Star game. Maybe slightly more, maybe slightly less. When you start talking to interviews, again, you've probably got five, six, maybe a dozen guys that need to have interviews on. And that's the reality of the situation, is the majority of the players at these small school games are going to be UDFA or tryout guys for the NFL. But it's a chance for them to move themselves up from a tryout to a UDFA, or from a UDFA to, hey, I love this kid, everything about him, I'm going to fight for him to be that seventh round pick that our team has. And it becomes a stand on the table for guys. But again, getting to one of these All-Star games, depending on who you are, what school, what your profile is as an athlete, is going to mean a lot of different things. Again, I hear it from agents all the time. Should my guy go to the CGS? And again, depending on the situation, yeah, the guy should go interview on field. Yeah, maybe it's not going to move the needle. If he's a Power Five guy, all 32 teams have seen him in person, practicing on the field. Maybe the on field doesn't matter. Maybe the interviews do. For all the smaller school guys, again, lots of guys, again, players from Eastern Kentucky. Again, I remember a kid from Eastern Kentucky a couple years back. Wanted to see him. I fought to get him there. I told him he was really hesitant. He viewed himself as a bigger All-Star game. Nah, CGS, no, go play, do whatever you can, have the chance to show up and look good. So all of it's important, but all of it has to be taken within each individual profile and what is going to happen for each of those guys. So let's talk through some of the big elements of the All-Star games. First thing that everybody thinks about, again, get the cameras on and see the on-field matchups, right? Some of the things that scouts, teams, coaches are going to want to see. For some people, it's the first time you see a good body type. You get up on them, you get real close proximity, and you can also compare them side by side. Obviously, they'll walk across stage, they'll do measurements at some point, height, weight, arm length, wingspan. But again, you get to see them stand side by side and, see if some of those estimations that you made throughout the year are correct.
Well, one now I need to say,
Yeah, go ahead.
the traditional weigh-ins are a thing of the past, unfortunately. They have been perceived, however you want to describe it, as something that's beneath the dignity, I guess, of the players. And so most often they're actually being weighed and measured right there on site when they check in. And so we're not able to have the long walk across the stage anymore in their shorts. And whatever you want to say about that, the players, the scouts still get to see their body types. They're just going to most more often see them under pads when they're out on the field and that kind of thing. So I want to make that caveat. I think the Tropical Bowl still will have weigh-ins. They had them last year, but I think that's the only game that still has public, well, I say public, weigh-ins where scouts are allowed to attend and watch. I'm not sure. I should know, but I don't know exactly what the Senior Bowl does. I know that as with respect to the Senior Bowl, the weigh-in used to be, kind of the centerpiece of the week, and everyone was there, and you had a gallery of up to 1,000 people watching. That's not for public consumption anymore, not at the Senior
Right.
Bowl, and I don't even know if they have a proper weigh-in or not weigh-in again. I think the NFL has discouraged that, so just want to put that out there because that has been one change within the last couple of years.
Yeah. But again, knowing it's always one of those things, you get your spring measurements from, again,
Right.
as we've talked about, some of these blessed NFS scouts who it may be the first time they've ever pulled a tape measure out and put it on a guy's arms.
Right.
Again, a chance to get to see those guys that are, you know, you expected them to be 33 plus arm length, and all of a sudden they're 32 and a quarter, verified by a scout that you can probably walk up and talk to. Again, then again, seeing them stand side by side out on the field, in a meeting room, all that kind of stuff. Again, same thing for those small school guys who have maybe never had a verified measurement, never had an NFS or Blesto guy through. All of a sudden, they have a chance to get those numbers. Again, in some situations, numbers that stick with them for the rest of their career. And, you know, it's kind of a funny thing that even scouts will joke about sometimes, the hesitancy to ever change a verified number in your scouting system, even though it needs to be changed. Again, it becomes a number that sticks with guys. Those on-field matchups, again, you think about some of the best versus the best. Again, guys are going to be drafted highly in the draft against guys that are also going to be drafted highly in the draft on the other side of the ball. Matchups you want to see, and a lot of those in new roles. Again, tackles now playing guard, guards now playing center, edge rushers now playing at three tech or three tech kicking to four eye, nickels, corners playing down at nickel, safeties playing nickel, nickels playing safety. All of a sudden, teams want to see these guys in specific roles where they project them to, and now you have a chance to see them do it. So all these on-field matchups matter a bunch. Again, even if you're just getting eyes on them, you start throwing the chance for cross-check. Teams, as they come out of December meetings, start in their cross-check position. And again, for me, I used to be a D-line cross-check guy where all of a sudden, instead of just focusing on my Midwest guys, I was now focusing on all the defensive linemen, interior and exterior. It's a really good chance to start to see those guys, to get a good feel for the full class. And again, start to set your internal board that's going to go through, again, when you get to February meetings, combine, UDFA's draft, as you start stacking all those guys up. So really good chance to start to see all your on-field stuff and think about some of the really good matchups where guys have made a bunch of money over the year, and, you know, where guys all of a sudden look completely different than they did than what you were expecting on field. So it can be a funny time for scouts as they start to check their notes and go back and see who was honest and who wasn't about some of those measurements and what they said about players in person.
I don't know. I know this is a family show. I want to, but we're talking about measurements here. So I will kind of edit myself a little bit, but I remember I was at the old blue gray game. I guess this was 2001 or thereabouts, a game that's been long canceled, was held in Montgomery, Alabama, and we're sitting in the weigh-ins. And, you know, typically you're going to have a man's hand is going to be somewhere in the 9 inches plus range thereabouts, especially the smaller players. The lineman, you're getting into 10, maybe a little bit more than 10. And a guy came through and he measured, they're doing arm and hand, and it was a receiver, and I think his hands were 11 and a half. And so we're all sitting there, and the scout behind me, I honestly don't know who it was, but the guy said, and I don't know, again, I'm going to edit myself, but he said, "Man, I'd like to stimulate myself with that hand just once." And I thought that was a unforgettable weigh-in moment that you only get with a bunch of guys sitting around a room. And obviously he didn't use stimulate myself when we were sitting there, and no one even laughed, but it's something, you know, 20 plus years later, I still remember it was one of my first weigh-in experiences. It's certainly, you kind of see all the attributes and kind of warts and all these players, and you get kind of odd thoughts from scouts too sometimes. So anyway,
yeah,
I thought that was memorable.
That is, again, guys try to be memorable in good and bad ways in their interviews. And, you know, apparently scouts will do the same thing sometimes. So
they're not a lot different. Yeah,
not a lot different. Again, it's the traditional viewing guys walking across the stage. Again, for all the negative connotation, for they've tried to shut it down, there is value in that for scouts. Again,
there
without
is.
Question, there is value to see those guys walk across. Even I would argue the good scouts are studying not just their body type, but their gait. How are they walking? Where are their toes at? Where are their heels at? Where are their knees at? again, I've been around scouts where if he's knock-kneed or if he's bow-legged, I'm dropping him or I'm raising him based on one of those. Where are his shoulders? What's his posture like? Again, I think about a player going back to, you know, probably 2016, good looking, strong safety who knew he was good looking. And as he was waiting, he was putting on, you would have thought he was at a bodybuilding show.
Mm-hmm.
And as you put that together, again, it wasn't, you know, maybe 10% of the scouts were even in a spot where they could see him doing it. But then you put the rest of his profile together, and I didn't like it because this player loved himself. And mm-hmm. it showed up in his character, and it showed up on the stage as he was getting ready. Again, the dude was put together unlike many guys up on the stage. But again, you know, you're here to play football. We don't care if you can win a bodybuilding contest. There's lots of guys that can do that, that can't play it down to save their life. And again, every little thing matters as guys go through this. And, you know, a couple little funny stories with that. So you get past the on-field matchup stuff. Again, some guys help themselves, some guys hurt themselves. Some guys, again, just at least answer the questions, do exactly what they're expected to do. And you get to the interviews. Again, interviews, chances for scouts to verify information, to dig deeper, or just get to know a player on more of a personal level. Again, scouts have, you know, asked questions of just about everybody they can in the building, from pro liaisons, coaches, academic people, athletic trainers, you know, QC coaches, anybody that they can get to answer a question. And this, in a lot of situations, is the first time to sit down, look the kid in the eye, and again, just get to know them. It is a spot that scouts, for the most part, really enjoy. Mm-hmm. Again, it becomes a funny spot for scouts because it is very much a, you know, hands-off, again, if you want to call it a meat market, as some people have, just a strictly, you know, observational business. But again, we want to get to know, good scouts want to get to know these guys. What makes them tick? How do they answer these questions? And it becomes a really fun spot for scouts to start to do their work on individual players and get a really good feel for it. Is this a guy that I really like? Again, you walk into an interview and within the first couple of seconds, you're going to be like, man, I don't like this guy. Or Matt, the school was lying. The school was made up all this stuff they said about him. And now I got to, you know, my work cut out for me. Or, you know, vice versa. You walk into an interview and, you know, 2 minutes in, 1 minute in, you're like, man, this is a guy I'm going to be pounding the table for. This is a guy I want on my team. And then again, those become really, really fun interviews. As I said, again, with their cross check, again, really enjoyed my time starting to do work on my defensive linemen. Again, for defensive linemen mentality, always meant a ton to me. What is this guy? You know, especially as I started to think about my UDFAs, my late round guys, who do I want to fight for? What guy has that dog, that edge, that mentality that I want on my team in the trenches when the game matters? Was always a lot of fun for me. And again, it didn't matter the position. There were guys I remember. One of the most memorable interviews, guy that I love, Northwestern player, went to Notre Dame, Ben Skoranek. So Ben goes out there, injures his foot. Says he has a, you know, I don't know, some kind of, if it was a Liz Frank or a Metatar, again, whatever it was, Jones fracture. He goes out there at the Senior Bowl, is trying to practice. Well, he goes up, comes down, lands on his face, gets a concussion. He still tried to come to interviews that night. We're going through it. You can tell he's a little loopy. He's tell he's out of it. You know, at the time, you know, speed was a little bit of a question for Ben. I'm like, hey, Ben, you want to come play, you know, tight end for us? What if we make you a big F, you know, a Travis Kelce type? And he dropped a few expletives and his answer was, yeah, sign me up. And again, Ben, you know, I think the trainers came and grabbed him at that point and said, hey, we got to get you, you know, out of here because you don't need to be interviewing. Ben walked away from that. I wanted him on my team. Again, I don't care what position, Ben's going to find a way. And some of those guys are super, super fun interviews that, man, you just love them. Again, another guy, a little different situation. I think we talked about him a little bit last week, Josh Uche. I had a ton of questions on Uche coming out of Michigan. Why is your play time down? Do you know the defense? Senior Bowl used to have the second floor where when guys weren't in formals, when they weren't in interviews being grabbed, you could just kind of stand and hang out. And for whatever reason, me and Uche kind of connected. And I was trying to figure out can this guy learn a defense? Can this guy learn a complicated defense? How much can he ask him? I didn't walk away with that answer, but I walked away loving the guy. I walked away loving the person. He kept coming. He wanted to talk ball. Again, I was trying to, one, just get to know him, but also figure that question out. Again, I walked away loving the guy. Felt good about the person. Obviously, he's done some really good things in New England now. Again, I still had to try to answer the question, can this guy learn football? But again, I walked away loving the person, which again, goes a long way when you're willing to stand on a player and like, hey, that's a little bit earlier than I think his talent says, but the person says this guy's going to get everything out of his talent. Again, that is where scouts absolutely love to be and love to do their work on these players and get to know them.
You know, it was I guess it was a couple years ago, I noticed that the Colts were not just interviewing players, but they were recording the interviews. They actually had a screen set up, and they, when they were talking to the player, they were, you know, everything. And I've always heard that, you know, Chris Ballard is a guy who, oh, you think we've watched a lot of film? We're in the first quarter here. You haven't even seen us watch film. And my impression is that they're equally diligent about the interview process. But it was really fascinating to me that here we are at a game which is primarily going to have your UDFAs, maybe a few day three guys sprinkled in there. They're still recording these interviews. And I think there may have been one other team that did it, but I think they were the primary team that did it. And they've got a guy named, I think it's Brian Decker, who's no longer, I think he went to Carolina when the head coach went there. But he is a fascinating guy because I think he used to work with the SEALs and even was part of our interview prep process many years ago when Ray Farmer headed our program. And so I just thought that was really interesting that they thought enough of the players that they're interviewing, even at a CGS where the players are not, you know, they're not quite as high level talent wise. They're actually recording the videos. I'd love to know if they went back and watched those just to determine which guys they're going to sign as UDFAs and maybe RMC guys. But that's impressive diligence out of a team to want to even get to know those guys.
Yeah, certainly. I think that video interview one is interesting because that at the NFLPA game last year, there were, I would say, a handful of teams that were, again, set up the iPad, have the guy sit down in front of it. Again, how much was gone back and looked at? Again, at the combine, everybody gets their standard 10 to 15 minute interview. I used to get to watch those. Again, scouting assistants oftentimes get a glean through those for any interesting nuggets. I would say combine interviews, there was very little we were ever going to pull from those very rigid, structured questions. But again, maybe for a guy or two. I'm curious how long agents and teams will be allowed to do that video interview stuff. Obviously, you've got to make the decision opt-in. Do you want to be recorded? Again, it'll be something I'm sure that gets legislated one way or another. Is it going to be a little bit more formal, a little bit, you know, hey, don't, you're not allowed to do it. And again, it's most players are used to sitting in front of screen. So I don't think many guys, you know, have a second thought about it. They've been doing their draft prep, anything like that. So on the flip side, again, I go back to an interview I did down at the Tropical Bowl with a player who I really liked. I wanted to like him. I loved the on-field guy, and I was praying that he would prove me wrong during his interview process. But unfortunately, in the matter of about a 10-minute interview, I think he answered 4 or 5 text messages on his Apple Watch. He Wow. made plans with 2 different groups that walked by as they were done with their interviews. And unfortunately, everything that I was worried he may be, he was. And again, a guy like that, who I at the time had about a mid-round grade on, but again, the character was going to bury him, and he was all the way off our board by the time that interview was done. So again, guys can certainly go either way on it. And you know, for anybody, any players, any agents out there listening, again, got to have guys locked in for their interviews. It is, you know, I tell guys that I do interview prep with right now, it is a job interview. Yeah, it's football. It's a little bit more casual, but again, it's still an interview. You got to put your best foot forward. Again, you're going to be sitting in meetings. You're going to be sitting, and learning ball and doing all of it through the process, and you got to put your best foot forward. And if you put your own stumbling blocks up in front of you, again, you're not doing yourself any favors. So the interviews, again, a really fun, really big part of the process. Again, I'm sure there's more stories I can think of, again, from the CGS guys that I knew walking away. Again, when I get to my UDFA list, I had them ready to go because of those relationships. So it's going to be a really fun part of the process. And another big piece kind of goes along with that interview was just the coaching staffs that are part of that. Again, most of these all-star games, the big ones anywhere, are bringing in NFL coaching staffs, usually at the bottom of the rung. Teams are going to be drafting highly. They're going to bring those coaching staffs in to do all the work on both sides of the ball. These coaching staffs, you almost always see them draft players that were on their teams. Again, whether it happens either way or not, again, who knows? But again, they're bringing those players in. Great chance for them to talk scheme, to see how they learn, to see how they fit a system. This is always one of those spots where I say teams that have the best relationships between their coaches and scouts and have a, fully, one direction philosophy are going to get the most information out of these. Again, get out of your silos, whether it's letting scouts in with your coaches or just having really good dialogue on what needs to happen at these. Again, it's got to happen. I was in situations where I didn't have a coaching staff on either of these rosters, but I go to a coach. I'm like, hey, could you call the linebackers coach? I know you worked this time with them, and just find out what this player. I had both coaches say, yeah, I got a great answer from them. I called them, and I had coaches like, nah, I'm not going to do that. I don't think we need to do that. And I'm like, hey, I need this information though. They weren't willing to do it. So again, you see both sides of it from the coaching staff. Coaching, in my opinion, coaching staff, scouting staff should be on the same page for these rosters if you want to have the best information coming out of these games.
It's the Senior Bowl, I think one of the most drastic changes in the last few years that you've seen is not only obviously we're NFL teams coaching the game and coaching the players, but you had almost all 32 teams that would send their coaching staffs down as well to sit in the stands and watch and glean information and talk to their buddies and all those kind of things. And really were part of the evaluation process, and you're not seeing that anymore. And I don't know if that is a reflection of the impact of analytics on the game now, or if it's simple cost cutting, which would seem crazy to me because NFL teams make more money than anyone.
Yeah.
But you don't see that anymore. And as a result, when you go to the Senior Bowl, whereas it used to be kind of a job fair and everyone was out there trying to find their buddies and trying to find job openings, it's not that anymore. I think the AFCA in some degree has replaced that aspect of it, the AFCA convention, because kind of same time frame and all those things. But that's been a drastic change in the Senior Bowl. And you didn't see anywhere else. You didn't see it at the Shrine. You didn't see it at the lesser games, obviously, but you always saw the Senior Bowl. And I always wonder how that impacts evaluation when you don't have those coaches down there to kind of see these guys. And obviously, not having the weigh-ins, other changes that have taken place kind of maybe restrict a little bit what they can learn anyway. Maybe it's more of a week to go down there and drink beer with their buddies, but it's the kind of expense that I think NFL teams always didn't even think about. And now they are. And so it has had a change on things. I've always wondered, the teams that were traditionally the ones that really integrated the coaching staff into the process, the Denvers, the Texans, other teams that were similar to that. I wonder how it's changed, how things take place in the evaluation process, because it is a dramatic change to not have coaches that are there that are seeing them. I think as a scout, the positive is you don't have a coach that goes down there, sees a kid 3 days, falls in love with him, comes back and says, we got to take this guy. Well, you don't know anything about this guy. I've been evaluating for 6 months. You can't tell me that you're going to supersede what I've been saying. So I guess there's goods and bads. Maybe it's a net positive to not have guys go down there and have a very short experience and suddenly come back thinking they know everything about a kid. It's 50-50, but it is certainly something that's really noticeable if you're a guy who's been going to the Senior Bowl for 20 years like I have, to not, to be able to walk around and not be in the midst of crowds all the time. It's just changed. And I guess changes is part of every game. That it is what it is.
Yeah, again, for me, the big, again, like you said, that 3 day fall in love session. Again, I've been on both sides of that, where, again, a guy I love to coach a season for 3 days and hates him, or, vice versa. I remember the last draft I was a part of, it was the complete opposite. And again, to me, it comes back to relationship. If a coach goes down there and falls in love with a kid or falls out of love with a kid, hopefully your staff, your team is in a spot where you can sit down and have a good conversation about it. Again, in one situation, we had a conversation about it and we got the guy where we needed to. The other one, I didn't know the coach was even in love with him for another month and a half. And all
Oh,
of a sudden
wow.
I find out where the coaching staff likes this player compared to where the scouting staff hasn't. It's like, wait, sorry, what? That's not a good spot to be in for a team. Again, if the GM wants to run a show like that, again, you're going to be answering a lot of questions and spending a lot of time as a GM and director that I think could be better spent elsewhere. Again, my 2 cents. But again, all part of the changing landscapes. They're going to continue to change. Again, we see the East-West game in another new spot this year. Perhaps they'll find a home long term at the Star. Let's hit on a couple quick topics here. Adding underclassmen to these All-Star games. Obviously, it's going to affect some of the, what I would say, some of these smaller school guys, fringe guys that would, used to be in. Are underclassmen being added to these games a good idea or bad idea?
I support it for the Senior Bowl and the Shrine Bowl because those are games where if you make the cut, then obviously you're the kind of player that really fits and is probably going to be day one, day two. And I think ultimately that's what scouts want to see. I don't support it for the HBCU Legacy Bowl. I think it's a terrible idea. You're talking about FCS players in a game that are just scraping to hopefully get a day three grade. They're scraping at a UDFA grade most of the
Yep.
time. And especially with four other All-Star games, you're not getting the creme de la creme, five other All-Star games, you're not getting the creme de la creme. Now you're looking at kids that may be playing at HBCU and thinking, well, I mean, not only can I ball out at my pro day, but I could even go to an All-Star game. That's not these guys, these kids, I mean, I root for everyone to get an opportunity, but at the same time, get your degree. I mean, take something away from playing college football. And if you leave early, then you're encouraging kids not to do that. And I recognize most offensive linemen are going to redshirt their first year, and usually they're going to be done in 3 years, but of eligibility. But at the same time, I just don't think it's a good idea. So for the Shrine, for the senior, yeah. The HBCU Legacy Bowl, not a good idea. And again, this probably matters only to me and you, but the Hula Bowl, the CGS, and the Tropical Bowl are still restricted from inviting juniors. And if you're going to do it for any games, especially for the HBCU Legacy Bowl, I think you should do it for the other three too. So I'd go down the road a lot more on this, but that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, no, I think, again, I agree with what you said. I'm ready for the other shoe to fall, though. Schools, the NFL, they, and some schools more than others, are really restrictive of what they say about underclassmen during a fall season. And then all of a sudden, these guys pop up on All-Star games. That becomes a really, really tough spot. Yeah, I know all the All-Star games, the NFLPA is, they've said, well, it allows teams to do more work. Well, again, let's go ahead and allow the scouts to do the work. Again, there are schools that I've been at in the Midwest who they prefer to talk about underclassmen. That those are their guys, those are guys they're pushing. They'll talk about anybody you ask about, but there are those schools who, if this player is not a senior, we will not talk about them, period. And those schools, I don't see that changing with these current rules because they are still pushing like crazy to keep these guys on their rosters. Again, it's got to be a little bit more formal. It's got to be a little less rigid for these schools. Again, whether that's dictated by the NFLPA or, again, if schools choose not to talk about them, that's on the school. But again, scouts can, and I have seen them be reprimanded for asking about these guys who everyone knew the player was coming out. But, somebody decides to, pull the flag on them and say, oh, they asked about an underclassman. again, slap on the wrist. But again, it's a slap on the wrist that shouldn't happen. So we'll see if that changes for the fall scouting for any players for NFS, for Blessed Out, anything like that. And again, now what about what comes next? Again, opt outs. What about players getting paid to come to these games? Is that the next step in these, at least the big two?
Yeah, the rumor a few years back was that the NFL wanted to have a game to slot in that dead weekend between the championship, the conference championships and the Super Bowl. And so they wanted to have something in Orlando. And the NFL was going to be the one who ran that game. And they initially approached the Senior Bowl about that. And the Senior Bowl is owned by Mobile, the city Mobile. So they were not moving the game to Orlando. But the Shrine Bowl is a lot more mobile, shall we say. And so the rumor was that they wanted to make the Shrine Bowl inhabit that weekend, and they wanted to be in Orlando and all those kind of things. I think that plan has fallen away, but I do think the NFL sees the value in the NFL draft and certainly the combine and all those kind of things. So if the NFL ever does formally decide, hey, we're going to run a game, we're going to put our stamp on it, it's going to be the NFL pre-draft game, whatever, I could see it happening. But right now, as it stands with the business model, I think it'd be really difficult to pay players because everyone thinks that there's these enormous margins on all-star games. That's not true at all. By the time you fly everyone down, put them up in a hotel, feed them, all those kind of things, pay a staff, what have you. And, you know, and the game that we work with, we have an all-volunteer staff. And it's still not easy for Jose and Craig to even finish in the black. So I hope that doesn't take place. You know, there was rumor that the one kid from last year was paid to be in the seat in the shrine. I have no idea if that's true or not, but I hope it doesn't come to that. But my gosh, we live in the era of NIL, and these players are certainly used to getting paid something. The elite players, anyway, they may begin to demand that. Right now, it hasn't happened. It may happen, but I hope it doesn't come to that. But again, if the NFL decides to have kind of a game that's on a different level, then maybe it will. Certainly, we're all getting used to change pretty quickly these days.
Yeah, certainly. I think you hit a couple points there. Again, the players, could it happen? Now that the NFLPA has dissolved their game and is starting to join in a little bit more with the East-West, again, the NFLPA, they could come up with the money to do it and be the premier game. Again, you've got the Senior Bowl locked into Mobile, I would say, for the time. Again, with the new setup, the new stadium, not the most convenient spot to get out to Hancock Whitney. Again, it's a good setup once you get out there, but again, a lot of driving, a lot of space in between. The Senior Bowl probably could be making a lot more money than they are now. Again, you see a future avenue for that. Again, the traditionalists want it to stay the same. Mobile has tradition, unlike, you know, any of these other all-star games. Nagy has done a really good job capitalizing on everything they have there in Mobile. Again, sure, it's just a question of how long can they keep it there before the dollar signs just get too big, which, again, the NFL has shown that when the dollar signs get big enough, they will dictate whether by strong-arming them or just making this the East-West the premier game. If that's what they want to do, that's what they're going to do. So, again, lots of fun with these all-star games. Scouts, again, as they're getting their travel things set, again, most scouts are going to at least hit one of the big two. Most scouts will probably hit either the Hula, the Tropical, or the CGS. Again, a lot of scouting assistants. Again, this HBCU Legacy Bowl has been a scouting assistant type game. A lot of scouting assistants will get out to one of the three small games, start to get their feet wet with any of those things. Again, you expect more full staff at either the Senior or the East-West. Again, as they're competing for that time slot, that date. Again, some teams will hit both. Some teams will hit one and focus on that. Again, changing landscape, certainly. Again, each year is going to be a little bit different. Each team, for the most part, is going to hit it fairly similarly. And then you get some teams that just decide to ignore it altogether and they give their scouts a few little bit more time off. So changing landscape, certainly. But again, the All-Star Games are an important time for all these players. So kind of wraps up that conversation. Before we go, let me remind you about Agent Live 360. If you are an agent, a sports marketing person, anybody with a list of clients, make sure you check out Agent Live 360, a CRM designed by agents for sports agents. AgentLive360.com. Get signed up for a demo. I will walk you through it. We can talk some ball. Again, it is a must-have. Manage your expenses. Every client, every contact you have, be on the same page. Know exactly where you're at with every player. That is AgentLive360.com. Go check it out now. Before we wrap up, News Year 6 bowl predictions. Let's start with our non-championship game, Neil. Fiesta Bowl, Liberty versus Oregon. You got a big school in Oregon. All they were really hoping to get into the playoff. You got Liberty, who, you know, since Hugh Freeze has that program rolling again, is back here. New York Six game. Where do you see this one going?
Well, you know, you always look at the team that's got more to win, more to gain in these bowl games, and I think Liberty clearly is that team this year. But Liberty's had a little trouble stopping offenses, and with Bo Nix playing in this game, I think it's going to be a little too much to ask for a team to come out and defeat. I guess I can still say Pac-12 team, right? I see Oregon winning this game pretty handily.
Yep, I agree. Again, the Bo Nix playing, the Liberty, again, you think about Oregon, yeah, they were losing some guys who were just opting out for the NFL draft.
Right.
Liberty losing players that are transferring up, right? Again, you talked on the NIL money, players that are already have new destinations. They're moving up to the Power Five. They're moving up to a big school. They've got a good list of players. Some of their premier guys that are not going to be playing, they're ready to go to their new school. They're training. They're getting ready for their chance at the P5 level. So, again, I think with the guys Oregon has, you've just got a little bit better team overall. Again, your depth at Oregon's better than your depth at Liberty, which we're going to see some depth from both sides. I think they'll be ready, you know, hungry to come out and prove that they, you know, maybe they were the number five team in the country, or it can at least make the argument for it. So we both have Oregon in that one. Let's kick it on over to the Rose Bowl, Michigan versus Alabama. Who you got?
This is a little trickier, but all I hear, Roderick, and maybe you do too, all I hear is that the head coach wants to get back to the league in Michigan. And if he is that focused on it, and I thought we saw a drop off with Michigan, notwithstanding the fact that they beat Ohio State, but down the stretch, it wasn't quite the same team without Harbaugh on the sideline. And I think if he's distracted, that leaves an opening for Alabama. And I think the quarterback there, Milroe, has really come on and improved. And I think despite the fact Michigan is a tough, hard-nosed team, I think Alabama may have an opportunity here. And, you know, obviously we're talking about a head coach who's on another level and isn't distracted by the NFL in Nick Saban. I think you could see an upset here.
I'm going to go the other way on this one. I'm with you on all the Harbaugh Michigan going to the NFL stuff. I don't believe most of it. I think he is a smart guy that understands an NFL opportunity is leverage for more money at Michigan. And yeah. I think that is who he is. I think no matter who woos him from the NFL, I think he is a Michigan man for the rest of his life. And then again, going to the quarterbacks, as you just hit on, the more I have watched Jalen Milroe for all the special that he is in terms of some of the plays he can make, I trust J.J. McCarthy more. And that Michigan defense is really good. Coach McDonald, their D.C., has them playing really well. I think it is going to be a low scoring, a physical game. And though I have gotten a little cooler on J.J. McCarthy as a big time prospect in the NFL, I think he is going to make a few more plays with his legs, with his arm. Again, that offensive line is good. They're going to get a little healthier than they were at the end of the year. You've got two really dynamic running backs in Edwards and Corum. And again, at the end of the day, you've got a defense that has just played really well, will show up from snap one. I like Michigan in a low scoring tight game that is going to, you know, be good football for four quarters. Mm-hmm. And let's kick on over to
one other thing. I'll let's say, Roderick, Going into the season, I heard a lot from scouts that the Big Ten had more talent than the SEC this year. And you may agree with that. I know you're more of a Midwest guy. That may be the case. And maybe Michigan is more of a proven team because of the teams they played this year. Whereas Alabama, I don't want to say the SEC had a down year necessarily, but maybe it wasn't quite the year they normally have. So again, another feather in your cap as far as picking Michigan there.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see. That may be our only one. Let's go to the Sugar Bowl with Texas and Washington. What do you think?
Another tough one. I think I don't know. I think Michael Penix is kind of the forgotten man among the elite quarterbacks in this draft. I think he's got a little bit of it factor to him, and he's an exciting player. I like Texas, but I just feel like maybe Penix makes the difference here, and so it's a toss-up. But I think maybe I give the edge to the Huskies here. And I think there's a little bit of a if you're a West Coast team, I don't think you get the same recognition that the rest of the across the country as you get on the West Coast. And I think there's a kind of a built-in chip kind of on your shoulder there. And I think that kind of helps them a little bit going into this game. So I think I could see Washington in a close game.
I think we're gonna agree on this one. I want to pick Texas so bad. Again, I shared a wall with Coach Sark when he was OC in Atlanta. I'm so happy to see him continue to have success. I love his offense. I love their all offensive line. I really think they have a good, talented offensive line. They've got some good pieces all over. The quarterbacks, again, I'm not a huge Penix fan. That's more probably scouting at the NFL level. He has made some fantastic plays for Washington this year. What I do love is Dylan Johnson. What I do love is Rome Odunze and their wide receiving core. I do think Washington, like you said, has a chip. They have played extremely well. They've been clean. Even when they haven't been clean, they've made just enough plays. And I think, again, with Texas losing their running back, again, you've got a replacement running back playing. I think Washington edges them in what's going to be more that high scoring, fun back and forth game. But I think Washington edges them out. Again, whether Penix is an NFL quarterback, that's a different conversation. He's been exactly what they've needed. He makes some really impressive throws, and you've got a truly seasoned guy. I remember doing a scouting report on Michael Penix at Indiana in 2020 and 2021, and here he is in 2024 now, going to be playing in a championship game. And then on the flip side, you've got a young, still developing Quinn Ewers, who at times looks like he's a dude, and at times has shown that he's coming back more than likely and probably needs to. So you've got, two good coaches, two good teams, going to be really fun games. We'll see where we come out. Again, it's going to be a tiebreaker for us, Michigan, Alabama. We'll see which way that one falls. And, gentleman's bet is going to be about pride in this one. So, maybe a drink if we can end up at one of these all-star games together. So, a lot of fun stuff. Again, at the end of the day, enjoy the football, enjoy the matchups. So no big Christmas plans. What about for New Year's? You just get ready for the games, or are you going to make it to midnight?
But my wife's birthday is New Year's Eve, so she gets to call the shots on what we do. And
There you
usually
go.
it's a very quiet night, which is fine with me because, I want to be, not that I'm a big partier, but I want to be able to have plenty of sleep under my belt before the games on New Year's Day. So especially this year. So no big plans, but I think it'll be a fun couple days of big games, and then on we go to the All-Star games and that kind of stuff.
Yep, certainly. We'll see if I make it to midnight. I know I'm going to be up late on the first with some of these late start games. Again, I think that Texas Washington game is like a 9 o'clock start for me on the East Coast. Become a late night, so I'll get my sleep the night before. But lots of good football, lots of All-Star game talk. Again, if you have questions, if you got comments, your experiences at All-Star games, again, find Neil on Twitter on X at Inside the League. I'm on X at RightStepADV. Of course, InsideTheLeague.com. Make sure you sign up for Neil's Friday Wrap newsletter. You can find my website, RSAFootball.com. Lots of discussions coming up in the coming weeks. We'll have some championship game discussion. Probably a few guests going to be on the podcast as we hit into 2024. So enjoy 2023. Hopefully you enjoy the podcast. Like, subscribe, share wherever you listen to us at. again, enjoy the rest of these bowl games, and all you do, keep on scouting.